Anybody got a question about anything?
Back here.
Why did you originally move to Bolinas?
Who are you asking?
Both.
Why did we remove?
Move. Why did you move there?
To Bolinas.
Yeah. Why'd you go there?
Sunlight on the Pacific Ocean in January. Looked good. Time to leave New York. That's about it. Some interesting people I met
when
I visited.
Too.
What?
Some of them are here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was living in the East too. And we had friends from back there who had landed in San Francisco and then in Bolinas. And me and my wife were from back there, and we needed to put some distance between there and here. So we went to Santa Fe because we had a couple of friends there, and we checked it out, and then we went to Bolinas, and we checked it out, and we thought we were going to go back to Santa Fe but we didn't. We just stayed there. But it was because of persons, friends, really. And same with him.
Yeah. I mean, I was in New York, and friends of mine had moved to Bolinas and were writing me letters about how great it was, and you should visit. And so I did. And when I visited, I saw that sunlight on a winter's day. And also, I met extraordinary people. And. Yeah. Everything sort of clicked.
Yeah.
And I had already gone in another direction, which was to Europe, so I knew that wasn't where I was headed to start that time. New York was, I thought it was me that I had just exhausted the city for myself. I mean, I had reached the end of my 20s but New York sort of took a dive around 1970, energy-wise.
Yeah, before that.
Yeah, but you know, in terms of art, it picked up really fast. Because no sooner had I left than there were people like Sam Shepard and Laurie Anderson and Patti Smith and all kinds of people making wonderful things happen there.
I'm very curious about the poem you written about the bartender and the horse. And I'm wondering if there was some type of inspiration for that, or were you just in a mood to have a horse sit at a bar?
It's a Boston thing, right?
No, I don't. The way I work is I don't go to work. I need to go to work. But I don't have anything in mind at all. And for me, most of it is listening. And I don't know, something catches in your ear. And then maybe you're off. And you don't know where you're going. But sometimes you wind up making something that works, whatever works means to you, and it only means that to you. It doesn't mean that to anybody else, which is kind of a two-sided coin, because other people say, oh, that doesn't work, or that's no good, or whatever, and you know it works, and you're the only one who knows it works, and it's not something you can explain to anybody. A lot of people, musicians, painters, etc. I mean, it's not something you explain to anybody. And so that was the case with that. I mean, it at the bottom it's inscribed to a friend of mine, but that's after the fact. You know, it was, I thought something might have, his name is Joey, might amuse Joey. That's all. But much of the time there are persons, for me, persons in the feeling. Not necessarily persons I know or persons who are alive or wherever. I mean, it's got to happen with him too. You know, I mean, they're just, like that. So that, you know, you're not in the game to tell anybody anything. I mean, a lot of people are, which is, you know, really interesting. But it's to make something, the need to make something. And if you're hung up, as I am, writing words on paper, since I was a kid, since I was in the first or second grade, because I was fascinated by the Palmer method and the letters on the blackboard, and for the first 2 years of school, that's a lot of what we did, was simply practice drawing our letters, that kind of thing. And then one thing leads to another. But it's that thing. So people write on typewriters, computers, and stuff like that. I can't. I just piece of paper and pencil, you know, like that. But that's just. So no, there was nothing in mind.
I was curious.
Nobody home. No.
Nobody home there, guys. Nope.
Yeah. Anything else?
I have a question for Bill. You said some of your poems that you were reading were fact-based.
Fact-driven.
Oh, fact-driven. Excuse me. And what fact? Like, how do you?
Well, like a cigar label. That is a fact.
Yeah.
That I come across, or the fact of I'm listening to this song and then I get interested in the history of it, and then the history of it somehow segues into the history of the Spanish Civil War because it's mentioned in the song really peculiarly, you know, and so things connect.
That's how you choose how to write a poem?
Well, that's happened. You know, that is, I said, it was not, it's much like what Duncan was saying. I didn't have a plan. Mm-hmm. I didn't say, I'm going to sit down and write one of my fact-driven poems. Yeah. In fact, now that I recognize that as a kind of a form or something that can happen, I'm a little nervous about whether it can happen because I don't want to be too self-conscious about it, you know. But it can happen. I love facts. You know, and some for a long time I believed that they were the truth. Now I'm not so sure about that, and I'm not even sure that anybody, including me, has the facts straight. So then maybe they become more malleable or even more interesting in a poem. So. I try to get them straight. That's why, for instance, in that signature song, I went through four versions where various things had to be corrected or changed.
We have one in the back.
Hi, this is a question for Duncan. I'm wondering if you consider yourself a Boston poet?
No.
Do you consider yourself a poet of place?
No.
So where you are is not relevant to the poetry you write?
Well, it's not the same thing. Do you ever read any of Jaime de Angulo's work?
No.
Well, that's a good thing to have a look at if you haven't. Partly because he addresses that something like the question you're asking about.
What's the name?
Place.
Jaime de Angulo.
Jaime de Angulo.
Oh, yeah. Andrew Schelling talks a lot about
okay,
that.
Yeah. Andrew. Okay, so yeah. Skip the Schelling.
Okay,
and go
to the blackboard.
go to Jaime.
Yeah.
And, it's a very interesting thing as of the place, i.e. San Francisco. Jaime's life, where he lived it. Jack Spicer studied with Jaime. Robert Duncan was his secretary for the last year or year and a half of his life, typed up all of the writings of Jaime's. You could just give yourself a little short course in some things. I think it's absolutely important. I mean, most people are walking around with no fucking feeling whatsoever for where they are. Partly understandably, because it's covered with concrete and all the rest of it, but that's not an excuse. That's really no excuse. So it's something that most of us, it's built in, but most of us have to be deliberate intellectually to start finding out where we are that way. Because the level of disorientation and consequence of not knowing where you are, you're completely surrounded by it anywhere in the planet. So it's like first things first, where are you? And there's a lot of different ways of going about that, but not to become like a poet or writer of place. There's nothing more boring. It's like Olson published the Maximus poem. It got published, you know, and Corinth published the first Maximus, and there's a map in the cover, and then every, you know, whatever, for years afterwards, you know, a map, there'd be a map on the cover or something, you know, this, as if, and so forth. You know, there's a map, and so on. There is a map. There is such a thing as a map. But, so no, I'm not. You're welcome. And thank you all. I mean, I don't know if we're finished, but I mean, I just, before I forget, thank you all for being here very much.
Are we finished?
Okay. Great.
I guess we are. Bye-bye.